Hello, I'm your host, Ben Downing, and welcome to the Meaningful Media Podcast. Thanks for joining us for this episode. We hope this conversation provides plenty of food for thought as we continue to navigate the fast evolving world of media and explore the media that matters. Now, let's get on with the show.
Well, thank you for joining us for this special and rather excellent AI-powered. No, it's not AI-powered. It's powered by the great intellects of our guests. You are joining us for our episode, our second episode on AI. And we are joined by three brilliant guests today. We've got Weilin Ho, director at Havas Startup Accelerator. We've got Masaki Ale, head of data, Havas Media Network. And a very special guest in Daphne Mane, co-founder and CEO of Unbias. We are all super excited to have you on the podcast. So we're going to ask each of our guests to share a little about their career and their journey before we start. Weilin, coming to you first, tell us about your role here at Havas and your career.
Hey, Ben. Nice to be there. So I've worked in basically big communication groups, Publicis and Havas, and startups all my life. And right now I'm editing the Havas Startup Accelerator in Station F. For those who don't know, Station F is the biggest startup campus in the world.
Super excited to hear all about Station F, which we will in a moment. And we're going to come to Masaki next. Masaki, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, hi, Ben. So I've been working in the digital and, you know, marketing industry for quite a long time now. I stopped counting the years, but it must be something like 20 years. I spent the first half of my career working for advertisers, and then I decided that I would be better off crossing the line and joining the agency side. So I joined Havas 7 years ago, and my job here is basically to, let's say, to help brands achieve better advertising by leveraging data. And so, yeah, actually, data has been my main area of focus. I've always loved to, you know, analyze things through data. I've always believed that research, studies, experiments, models should guide brands in their thinking and in their strategy.
Daphne, coming to you next.
Hello, Ben. Well, thank you for inviting me. So, first, I'm an anthropologist and specialize in innovation. I've been working for 20 years in tech industry. The AI bug bit me back in 2019.
Did AI exist in 2019?
Yes, but it was very confidential. So I have a chance to encounter a data scientist. Actually, he's called Ben, as you. And he dropped this bomb on me, like a data scientist usually does. Hey, Daph, hate to break it to you, but AI is coming for your job. Okay. And I said, well, pour me a glass of champagne and let's talk about it. So we chatted a lot. And in fact, it turned that we are our fields, anthropology and data sciences, shared a lot of common ground, especially when it came to biases. And in 2021, we took action and launched a startup called Unbias.
And we're going to talk about Unbias and your work later on in the podcast. It's a fascinating area. But Weilin, you talked us through Station F. You talked about your role at Station F. Can you expand on Station F? Because it's a really fascinating place and a project and something we're involved with here at Havas.
Yeah, so Station F has been created in 2017 by Xavier Niel. So it's the initiative of a guy who wants to create a real ecosystem for startups to thrive in France and in Europe. So basically, Station F is a former, I think it's a train station that was turned into a place where 1,200 startups come every day. They are organized in programs, and all the programs are managed either by big corporates like us. So they are the LVMH, Thales, Microsoft, Havas, obviously, programs. And then you have also big academic programs. And it's a place where you have a lot of interactions and a lot of crossing ideas between industries. They want to be called the campus. And the idea behind that It's not just a place where you come with an ID, you accelerate it, and you do business. It's also a place that provides to the other aspects of life as an entrepreneur. So they want to provide you with services, perks for your personal life. So the idea is to make the entrepreneurs very focused on their product, the service that they are trying to build. So it's really a place where you can basically live 24 hours a day, and every aspect of the life of an entrepreneur is optimized.
It's
So
a
we
fascinating
as
space for those of you that can or have visited. It is, as Wayland's described, an amazing campus where big corporates are there like us with our presence, but also those connections with tech companies, with education institutes, and there's this cross-pollination between startups. It's an amazing space and really a European institution.
Exactly. And so we operate a program where we select six, seven, eight startups a year. And we help them with basically three angles. The first one is to help them get connections with the agencies of Havas or the clients of our agencies. The second point is to provide them with resources and experts in different aspects of communication when they want to become more visible and they want to grow their market. And the third part of our program is to help them get exposure through events that might be private for clients or that might be open to the community at Station F, like we did a few weeks ago with the CB News in France in the main auditorium.
So, as I understand it, we are the only communications group with a presence, and we're lucky to have you there on site. And you are bringing this great work into our network, but also bringing our network to these startups. And an example of that was that event. Tell us briefly a little bit about that event that you brought together a few weeks ago, and then maybe you can expand on how AI is sort of changing the mood, is directing the startup ecosystem over at Station F.
We did basically two types of events in the very recent days. The first one was the big conference on AI, focused on the results. So it was not about talking about the greatness of Gen AI. It was more about, okay, we are 1 year after ChatGPT. Where are companies in their AI roadmap? So the focus we were trying to make is have a client and an agency to explain what they did the last year in terms of experimentation, of implementation of AI, and not just generative AI, but also machine learning. And what were the outcomes? So it was very interesting to see that all the brands that came to talk about their project were focusing mainly on things not related to Gen AI, but more automation in their very own industries. The other event that we did was a very AI-focused workshop for Bonneau Logistics, for example, where we introduced the biggest clients of Bonneau Logistics to AI startups that are at the crossroads of transportation, logistics, and impact. And the idea was to provide real solutions. So for the second part of your question, what I noticed about the growth of AI at Station F as an ecosystem is that, first of all, there are a lot of startups. I think today it's like 15% of the startups, of the 1,200 startups, are working in some form of AI integrated to services. And also, we noticed that a lot of corporates want to come to Station F to see not just trends, but really concrete solutions and services and talk to people who build the stuff.
So fascinating insight there. I think this is a great time to be having this conversation because it really feels now the rubber is starting to hit the road. You're seeing that in the startup ecosystem, but also the clients, the brands, that we're working with, the corporations that are involved in StationF, they are looking at concrete integrations. And I love you focusing on us on those real use cases. The excitement is now moving towards what's the reality, and we're going to get into that as we talk later in the podcast, especially with Misaki and Daphne. But you mentioned some phrases there: machine learning, generative AI. Not all of our listeners are AI experts, although I'm sure everyone is becoming one as time goes on. So I think it's great to have an expert explain it to us. So Daphne, can you talk us through what is AI? What are all these terms? Give us the basic grounding for the rest of the conversation.
Okay, in a few minutes, that's right.
No pressure.
Okay, yes, you're right, Ben. It's crucial to align on what we are talking about. So the technology in question is a very broad concept. I'll be using the definition of the researcher Zhu, which is AI is a set of algorithms that can receive a message, could be a text, an image, an audio, for example, and the models can produce something that we call an inference that appears natural to a human. So there exist myriad schools of EA, in fact. And behind EA, there is a lot of different techniques. But our focus lays with machine learning. And machine learning is a subset of AI grounded in statistic and probabilities. So through this approach, we train model to guess the most probable sentences or words, often by analyzing vast data sets. So in the machine learning, deep learning emerge as a powerful methodology to train the model, and they employ neural networks. I'm sure that it's a word that you have already.
Neural networks?
Right, neural networks. So, and they train the models to mimic human-like learning, but it's just a metaphor, you know.
I love that you focused on that, because I think these terms get thrown around like neural networks, and it's very important to think this isn't, you know, this isn't a thinking machine. It doesn't learn like a human. It's a probabilistic process.
Yes, absolutely. So machine learnings, deep learnings, NLP, natural language processing, are all these techniques that's behind GPT, for example. So basically, it's how it works. We train the model with first to collect a huge amount of data, what we call the data set. Okay. Maybe I can start to talk about biases, but first, the biases are included into this big data set, you know?
So this is I think sometimes it's called training data, right? This is like the thing the machine learns on, basically.
Yes, the training data, the data set. And normally, the data set is built on Wikipedia, Reddit, blog. Everything is free on copyright. And literature before the 70s, because it's free on copyright, you know? And you can imagine...
So copyright is an issue as well, right?
Yes, it's a big issue. But it's up for another podcast, okay? But normally it's free. So as you can imagine, this data set give us a specific representation of the world before the 70s, you know? And Wikipedia, I love Wikipedia. I'm a huge fan of Wikipedia, but I can say that Wikipedia is universal. You know what I mean? So we have the first problem with this data set is that maybe they are not so universal and they lack a little bit of diversity and they don't fit with our actual representation of the world. We train with a very simple informatic function, thanks to the neural network, and we ask to the model to predict the most probable word in a context of words. And then we do a little bit some mathematics also, and that's why we said that this machine learn by themselves. And then after, you can reinforce the learning of the model and you can add some rules because some behaviors of your model can be problematic. You can also supervise their training to say, okay, that is this answer is correct, this answer is not correct. So it's another way to fine tune your models.
And I think we're gonna talk about some of those issues around the data models are trained on that you've alluded to, the fine tuning around correcting for bias as we talk about your work and your company at Unbiased. But I think, and thank you, that was such a brilliant explanation as well. You helped us brilliantly, taking us from the sort of classic machine learning that we might be experienced with, you know, pattern matching, the thing that powered your Netflix recommendation engine back in the day, you know, that kind of thing, through to some of the same techniques being used to kind of create stuff from those data sets, create probabilistic new content. So, Misaki, I'm going to bring you in here to talk us through your feelings and what you're already seeing in terms of the way AI is impacting the way we create media experiences, the impact for media as well, from your perspective. What are you seeing and what are you starting to develop?
It's quite important to recall that we didn't discover the benefits of AI for media buying with the ChatGPT burst back in 2022. And actually, you know, digital marketing had already been relying on machine learning for a long time before that. I would say that in a way, we began using it as early as when some platforms and some technologies created algorithms, which, you know, industrialized, I would say, the making of relevance. Okay, so for example, showing relevant content to social network users according to their interests, showing relevant results on search engines, proposing relevant TV shows or movies on video platforms, etc. And for advertisers, showing relevant ads to people according to their profile. And all of this being automated thanks to AI models, which are fed with data on consumer behavior. Anyway, once you said that, it doesn't mean that, of course, the story doesn't end there. We clearly see new opportunities of improving the media buying practice thanks to AI in many different areas. But I would say, to sum it up, it all revolves around a better understanding, a deeper perception, a better grip on reality. For example, like, who is the target? What's the profile of the target? We have a new kind of a new science of the consumer behavior. We have new ways of predicting consumer behavior. There is also a lot of innovation concerning the media context analysis, the media context interpretation. And actually, that's really my priority right now. What does a piece of content truly mean? Which are the media contexts that best fit and add? So this basically helps us answer the question, where should I place an ad? And this is the area which in which I am the most interested right now, because it relates to our very first mission, which is finding the best conditions to expose an ad, right? That's the first mission. That's the first task that our clients ask us. And so with the help of NLP, and Daphne explained to us how it worked, the work with the help of NLP, but also with the work of new technologies such as visual computing, we are now able to find the places where a brand's identity, its values, are in harmony with what the content expresses. And so we are able to build a meaningful association between the ad and the content which hosts the ad. And I believe this represents an elegant way of targeting. For example, we can target contents which have a particular stance on social topics. We can target contents which support social progress, or even we can even target content based on the emotional vibe that they express. And I believe this is quite interesting, being able to target particular emotional context, right? And so we can do this on text context, but now we are also able to do this on video content, which is quite important because, as you know, the media ad inventory tends to grow on this format. And so what this contextual intelligence, we could name it like this, contextual intelligence is also about, is making sure that the brand isn't displayed next to an inappropriate content, which we call brand safety. This isn't new, we have to admit. We have been doing this for a long time now with technologies that you know, such as Integral Ad Science, Double Verify, etc. What we are trying to improve is basically extending the risk perimeter that brands should avoid. We know how to avoid, for example, pornography. We know how to avoid violent, explicit content. But actually, there is much more to avoid, like fake news, like propaganda, like climate change denial, and like gender or racial bias, gender or racial discrimination, among other things, among other examples of bad contents. And these categories are not taken care in standard brand safety tools. So we have to design innovative ways of detecting such content. And this requires the use of AI. And this is how we began working and talking with Daphne and Unbiased to try and create a technology which would be able to detect sexist content. That's our first goal, trying to detect sexist content so that brand can avoid it.
I love this. We talk a lot about, rather than brand safety, brand suitability here, and its centrality to media experience, to building great media experience. And some of the most meaningful media using some of those older techniques you talked about, you know, simpler deterministic signals, some of those ways of thinking about context and content, you know, just wasn't making it into media experiences. It's fascinating the way that you're using this new technology and thinking about this new technology to try and build better media experiences by extending brand suitability. And that's kind of some of the work you've been doing with Daphne. But there are, you know, there are problems that you alluded to. There were problems with this older way of doing things. There are problems with AI today. And those problems are around bias. So Daphne, you talked a little bit about bias. Tell us about your company, Unbiased, how you're tackling the problems with AI, but also how you're building solutions to build better, as Masaki was talking about.
From our point of view, biases, what are we talking when we are talking about biases? It's like artificial intelligence, you know, it's a broad concept. Biases serve as a fundamental purpose, aiding the discernment of crucial information. If you have no bias, you can't distinguish an information from another. But from the point of view of humanities, biases can distort, twist the perception and decision making, and create stereotypes. And that is a problem. So in Unbiased, we understand that mitigate biases and manage it, it's a change to highlight and to enhance the quality of the models. So what we are doing, so we are specialized in NLP, as Masaki precise.
And that's again natural language processing.
That's it. The main benefit of this AI lives in the ability to process large volume of text, which is crucial in a world where brands constantly produce and manage significant amounts of textual content. So brands use our models to optimize their communication to become more inclusive. So we introspect their web pages, financial reports, corporate and external communication, with the aim of enhancing their inclusive messaging. So brands rely on us to make their contents more inclusive by avoiding those sneaky stereotypes that tend to creep into the contents and specifically into the job description. Spotting any unintentional biases in their communication, coaching potentially offensive language rooted in their historical communication. So it's all about fostering a more respectful and inclusive dialogue, thanks to the EA. But it doesn't stop there. Our model can predict who's likely to resonate with a piece of text based on things like age, gender, of course, because we are tackling first gender biases, but it could suit with aging, with social background also. And we can target it with no need to use invasive data collection tactics like cookies, you know. We also, thanks to Masaki, working on brain safety issues, with the rise of generative AI and deepfake also, the internet's becoming a bit like Wild West, and brands are finding it more and more challenging to maintain a safe and relevant online presence without editorial safeguards in place. So we're working on solutions to help brands navigate this digital space while staying true to their values, which is very, very important for them. So we are like, I don't know, guardians of integrity on the online galaxy.
I love this. And I love, you know, I love your story about, you know, your background as an anthropologist, working with data scientists, and this sort of handshake between the two disciplines, and you realizing, hey, actually, when we apply our two disciplines together, we can create some brilliant work. And I think the story of Unbiased and the work you're doing is really interesting. You know, starting out looking at AI sort of parsing of content to correct some of those unintentional biases, to now, as you develop your technology, develop your work, you're now entering the space where you're able to look at AI generated content as well to help brands navigate this new web, because biased AI is trained on biased content, and a lot of content is biased because we have humans have those biases, and ultimately that's the content the AI is trained on. That bias is reflected in the AI output. So I think we're going to see a lot of stuff in this space, and we've got a couple more questions, and we'll come on to how that's going to affect media experiences. But Waylon, I think, you know, you and I were talking a little bit before the podcast around this being a major space, and it's something you're seeing, obviously Unbiased leader in the area, but you're also seeing other areas and other interests in the startup space in France and in Europe as well.
Yeah, well, there's not an AI related event in the tech ecosystem in France where you don't have an expert on bias, on potentially problems with AI, copyrights. And from my point of view, from what I see at Station F, last year was the startups were very focused on, hey, I can do this with plugging ChatGPT or using AI to generate this. It's really cool. It could apply to such and such industry. Now we are seeing a lot more, I would say, a second generation of startups that are more focused on, okay, we are trying to scale up the implementation of AI with big business. So how do we make it safe for the big companies? So obviously, players like Unbiased, recently in the Future 40, which is like the 40 most promising startups of Station F, Giska was selected. So Giska is a startup that works on data integrity to make sure that the data is of good quality and safe before working with it. So yeah, we see a lot of startups in the field of checking information, deepfakes, content certification. And I think it's now a more mature generation of startups at Station F.
So big question now, what's the opportunity and the threat to building great media experiences and meaningful media as a whole?
I think if I may begin, I think it's both an opportunity and a risk. It's a risk because the risk is that bad quality content spreads on the internet. Clearly, we can see a lot of content from trying to sell ads on the ad exchange, and it's quite a big phenomenon. It's not a small thing. You know, people having the idea to leverage Gen AI to produce gigantic masses of content and try to monetize it, and this is quite a threat for brands because they might not even be aware that their ads are being placed on really bad content. Okay, so that's the, according to me, that might be one of the main risks around media, meaningful media, and Gen AI. The opportunity, well, we talked about it, and that's what we are working on with Daphne. I mean, AI can be a way of gaining context, media context intelligence in order to find meaningful content, right? So you see, we have the both, a risk and an opportunity.
I think that's so fascinating, that the context content, not dichotomy, but the variable there is being increased by AI, and you are creating solutions for that. So clear sighted. And I wonder if we hear a lot about, I'm actually in the US at the moment, and there's a lot of enthusiasm everywhere, but particular enthusiasm in this market for sort of future completely AI powered solutions. We're talking generated synthetic avatars and, kind of personal shopping experiences. How far away is that? And is that, do you think, a media experience?
Maybe I can jump in for this one. From what I see, I think the avatar parts is almost there. I mean, in terms of is it easy to create an avatar? Now the usefulness of this is how will it integrate in the natural flow of the customer in these daily interactions? Because having an avatar that looks like you, speaks like you, and saves your buying habits or whatever is very doable. But how does it integrate with all the data sets of your people and the brands that you interact with is another story. And I'm not sure we're there yet. But it's like when we talked about the metaverse a few years ago, where you had like the projection of your avatar that will do everything that you can do. But now, how does it interact with your workspace, your shopping experience? So I think the tech and the startups are working on bits of that to, be able to talk, to look like something. The real question is integration in your daily environment, I think.
I think that's fascinating. And we kind of come full circle as well from the top of the podcast, where you kind of all grounded us in your individual answers on the fact that, hey, this is all about data, right? So, a lot of the promises we have to look to, is the data there, are the integrations there, and is it good customer experience, and is it good media experience, which is, of course, what we do here at Havas Media Network. I think that's a fantastic place to finish it. Right, let's close out with a meaningful media fast five. Waylon, you're going first, my friend. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. What's your meaningful media right now?
My meaningful media right now, X. You know, in X, you have two threads. You have the one where you have the suggested content by the AI. You have the one that you curated yourself. So I'm switching between both.
I wish we could. We need another podcast on this, because I also am an X user and I like X, but for you is a bit problematic. Following is really useful, but to your point, you have to curate your list so hard. So, what's the media you start your day with?
X.
Okay. What media do you turn to when you're looking to get inspired?
Probably a mix between Instagram and Wikipedia.
What's your media guilty pleasure?
Do-it-yourself videos on TikTok.
I feel you on that one. You can have one media platform for the rest of your life. Which one is it and why?
YouTube.
Not X, YouTube. Okay.
Nah, YouTube, because X is very interesting for news, but the beauty of YouTube is that you have like long content, short content, music, you have
Are you
everything.
ad supported or do you fork out for YouTube Premium?
Ah, and support it.
Interesting. Okay. So, Masaki, we're going to come to you next. What's your meaningful media right now?
Well, it didn't change since I was a student, and I'm I love print newspapers, print magazines. So my meaningful media has always been Le Monde.
You still get the print version of Le Monde?
Yeah, so I'm a subscriber. I've been subscribing to Le Monde print newspaper for like, I don't know, 20 years, yeah, 20 or 25 years, and I read it every day. And it takes me about 1 hour and a half each day. It's
Yeah.
important. It's important for me because this is where I can find clever information about what's going on in the world. I think that's quite important.
Yeah, I think there's an attention thing with print as well. You know, people have, your attention is more focused on the media itself, which helps. So what's the media you are starting your day with?
I listen to the radio, so that would be France Inter. It's a national public radio station.
What media do you turn to when you're looking to get inspired?
This I don't really, I'm not a Pinterest guy because I
Yeah.
don't, So I guess nobody will know about that magazine, but it's a small independent magazine which is called Mint Magazine. And let's say that I love the
Yeah, I know
pictures.
it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know it? Oh, it was created by someone I know, and I love the pictures in there, and it makes me want
Very cool.
to discover new food and lovely food pictures.
Okay. What's your media guilty pleasure?
Watching stupid videos, really really silly videos from some humorist creators on YouTube. I know I'm losing my time, just like Weilin when he's on TikTok. Weilin, he
Yeah.
always tells me that he doesn't have enough time to go to the cinema, but he's spending 2 hours on TikTok. I can do the same thing with stupid videos on YouTube. But it makes me laugh, and it's good. It's good to laugh
The
in the day.
no, it is. Look, the algorithm is really good, and that sort of snackable content is so much fun sometimes. I'm just really fascinated by the way that you are such a data person, but like print is one of your big meaningful media points. There you go.
Yeah.
That's why we do this. That's why we talk about meaningful media. So you can have one media platform for the rest of your life. Which one is it, and why?
Oh, same as Weilin. YouTube, because of the diversity of things you can find on there. I can have fun, I can learn things, I can find solutions to very practical problems like how to change or I don't know something in your house. I can watch sports. I can analyze the state of mind of the society. So you have everything on YouTube. So that's the platform I would keep for sure.
Ad supported, or do you fork out for premium?
Yeah, I'd support it, but I'm considering changing and starting and paying it.
So, Daphne, you are going to close out our episode as our special guest. Firstly, what is your meaningful media right now?
I always say LinkedIn, because there is a lot of people in my field that are talking on LinkedIn and share relevant content. So it saved a lot of my time and yes, LinkedIn.
Love that. Follow Daphne on LinkedIn for great insights. So, what's the media that you start your day with?
As Masaki, the national radio called the France Inter, the
Media
same.
radio again. I can't believe it.
Yes. And the same moment. So, radio.
What media do you turn to when you're looking to get inspired?
Book? Is that book as a media?
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. And do you paper book or ebook or?
I try Kindle, but honestly, I love the paper. I love to go through a book, start with the beginning and just after see the end of the book. And you can do that with a Kindle, so the paper book.
Yes, I buy more books than I can read, which is a terrible thing, but I wish I had more time. What's your media guilty pleasure?
Oh, astrological podcast. My
Okay.
Yes, definitely. I don't know why.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, okay. You're sure? My rationale doesn't believe in astrological, but I don't know. I'm fascinated. I'm fond of this. I think that is reassuring. You know what I mean?
You can have one media platform for the rest of your life. That's it. Which one is it and why?
Oh, it's a library, because I'm a text person, book person, and I think that I can be very happy if I have a library.
So the other AI person, the other sort of data person, is also a print person in their own way. Interesting. Interesting. Well, thank you so much to our amazing special guests. We've had Waylin, we've had Masaki and Daphne on the podcast today. You guys were fantastic. Hopefully have you on again soon, and we'll be talking AI at such a fast-moving place.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. See you all soon. That's it for this episode of the Meaningful Media Podcast.
That's a perfect place to finish the episode. A big thanks to you, our listener, for tuning in. Do remember to subscribe to the Meaningful Media Podcast on your preferred platform so you don't miss any of our episodes. Once again, thanks. Join me, Ben Downing, soon for more perspectives on meaningful media, the media that matters.